Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast. We have made it. All the coaches are in the books. Well, except for the flag champion, which, you know, we'll get to you after they actually crown one. And, you know, we'll hopefully talk to the NAIA here like we did last year, the state of the NAIA. But we are now into preview days, the previews of the conferences. And, man, the AAC is just an absolute doozy. They were one of the worst conferences, if not the worst conference, in 2023. Or in 2022, previewing for in the 2023 offseason. But, gotta say, there's some teams that made some major steps here. But, as always, let's start it from the bottom. And, it's gonna be the Kentucky Christian Knights. Unfortunately, dead last in the AAC, 95th out of 95th. One win over St. Andrews, also in conference. But, 2.95 yards per play offensively and 6.99 yards per play given up defensively is, it's not going to get it done most days, is it?
No, it's not going to really help you out. I will say, though, there is a bright spot for this team. I think, one, obviously, Jamari Wilson, all-conference running back, is coming back, 771 yards and 4 touchdowns to his name last year. Big bright spot for them. I think also just when you're at this stage as a program, there's nowhere really to go but up.
Yeah.
It's always the nice thing. We always mention it in these season previews with these teams that finish like in the bottom, whatever, of SP Plus. And Kentucky Christian's been there before. Obviously, with the new coaching staff, it's a change of philosophy. It's a change of mindset about the game of football that they're kind of dealing with still. But I think they got some pieces there. Obviously, it's a slow climb. We can't expect them to flip it around right away, but they got some things working in their favor.
And I will say, I mean, it was a really, really tough offseason pre-2023 last year. They actually had a total of 3 head coaches over that offseason, you know, where Corey Phipps goes to UPike. They bring in another guy. He doesn't make it to opening day. They bring in another guy, and that's the one who does it. Look, that's really tough. So, were you dead last? Yes. Will you likely be better this year? Also, yes. You know, it's sucky circumstances. And I think they'll be able to get a little bit better next year. But one spot up from them is, strangely, the team that they beat. They got the one win off.
Yeah.
Sure, let's – hey, look, we'll go with it. 94th in SP Plus. Better offensively by, you know, almost a tenth of a yard per play, and better defensively by, what is that, about 0.15 of a yard per play?
Something like that.
And in SP Plus, that's gonna be about a spot difference.
Yeah, St. Andrews, just another team that you look to, and sky's the limit. You know, they do have Laverius Heath Lewis coming back, definitely one of their staples there on the defensive side of the ball. But they do also have a lot of their offense coming back, which I think also works in their favor. Having that experience around the program, no matter how good or bad they've been in recent years, like, you know, it's just more veteran guys that are able to recognize what's going on, that know what's going on. and can help those younger guys out.
Yeah, and they had 12 graduates and 10 players they didn't bring back that didn't graduate. And then they signed 67 between freshman prep, and 7 of those were JUCO. So that is that's called a roster flip, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
And the fact that 7 of those are JUCO, and mm-hmm. you're not talking about transfers there, like in terms of other transfers that you're bringing in, means that they are really looking to, it might not be 2024 that they have their glow up season, might be 25 or 26 once you get those guys in the program. But you know, roster flips take time, and I do think St. Andrews is going to be better than they were. That's a program where you've traditionally, where you have some headwinds in terms of your football program. And if the guys over there can figure out how to sail into those headwinds and use them at their advantage, St. Andrews definitely is a place where I think success can happen. It's just going to be hard getting over, an object at rest tends to stay at rest.
Yeah, for sure. But definitely the roster flip helps. Just the way that they're plugging guys back into this program. And there's a lot of healthy competition that breeds too. And it's a net positive if you go about it the right way, which I think they are. So to see what they can do.
So we go from two teams in the 90s and we get a team that's a little bit of a step up. We get into the 70s point. I think they might have taken a step back in SP Plus last year, but they held steady in the AAC in terms of record-wise. Their offense slips a little, their defense slips a little, but I think, honestly, for this school itself, I think they're going in the right direction overall. I definitely believe in Trevor Zeider's high character. Head coach there at Point was the head coach at Cincinnati Christian, and was the last man there in the football facility, turned the lights off, made sure all of his kids had a home. And that's the kind of guy that you want to have at the helm of your program, a high character guy going after more high character guys. And I do think Point's eventually gonna kind of get it turned around with a lights out defense that will be, you know, top 10 in the NAIA.
Absolutely. And these guys are going to be led by and pretty much an entire linebacker room that is coming back of all conference guys. You have, you know, Caleb Wade there at the DB position who is lights out. And then, hey, you know what? Sure, all-conference tight end to boot. Tight end's one of the more dynamic positions on the offense. If you have a versatile one, if you have a guy like Nick Marion who's coming back, it's going to be great. It's going to be good. It helps your offense out a ton, being able to use that position for many different things. And it's looking good for Point.
You are going to miss Emory Bryan. I mean, that was a nearly 1,000-yard wide receiver, 17.2-yard average, and a kick return touchdown, a very dynamic player for the Skyhawks team. You're gonna have to figure out how to replace him. You do return a majority of your offense, but only about half your running backs and half your wide receivers. So you're just gonna have to figure out who's gonna get the football. And you know you've got Mitchell Gossett coming back at quarterback. You know who's gonna get it to him. But you do return a majority of your team overall. I do expect Point to take another step forward. Maybe not a huge one, but I could definitely think you're looking at a team that will not be 4-7 again like they have been the last couple of seasons, but maybe a little closer to 500 overall on the season.
Absolutely. I think the metrics on this team are going to say a lot. I mean, obviously metrics say a lot about every team, but especially just the improvements that this team is capable of making this year, especially with their defense. I'm excited to see if they're going to make any big jumps on the stat sheet.
Now, talking about a team that made a lot of big jumps, it is one of the teams that made one of the biggest jumps in all of the NAIA and has a new name to boot, the Union Commonwealth Bulldogs, going from Union College to Union Commonwealth University. honestly, I don't know how I'm gonna say this in the regular season, whether I'm gonna just still say Union, you know, or like I do with Weber International, if I'm just gonna say Weber, or just say Union, or if I'm gonna go full bore and go Union Commonwealth. I don't know. What I do know is they had a heck of a season last year off of an 0-10 dead stinking last in the NAIA SP Plus. 98 of 98. You go to 4-6, 3-3. You're up to 74th. That's a jump of 24 spots. John Luttrell's group could definitely, you know, I don't know that you're going to make that sort of quality of jump, but I definitely think Union could make a case for being top half when we do this next year.
Absolutely, and I think it's spearheaded by that defensive unit that was, you know, 56 in the country in metrics, which is a huge step up for them. Obviously headlined by Tanksley and Guy, who are coming back, and also linebacker Samuel Hawthorne. And also on the offensive side of the ball, you got Taji Jackson coming back, who's an absolute monster. So looking forward to see what those guys are able to piece together on their next go-around with this squad.
Yeah, the word out of Barbersville is that Taji's been hard at work in the weight room, making those gains, and see if that helps. You know, he's got, you know, I don't know if they're going to continue to do, you know, the platoon there running back with Amari and Parks that they had last year, where Parks had, you know, 336 rushing yards, or if they're just going to pile it all on Jackson and let him tote the rock and you know, maybe get close to 1,000 yards. But they do. I think it could be a good thing for him. You just wouldn't want him to get hurt off of that. But this is a Union team that is returning a majority, both offense and defense. You know, you do have an open quarterback battle that has not been decided on. I know we're you know, done with spring ball at this point. Nobody's you know, signed their name on the dotted line of I am the starting quarterback. No one really stuck head and shoulders above, apparently. So you'll have to see who's going to do the best in summer workouts and who's going to show the leadership potential. You know, who's going to be putting in the extra work with their receivers to cement themselves as the starting quarterback. We'll have to see. That one's going to be fun, because I think if they can find themselves a quarterback, Union could definitely launch itself into top three in this conference.
Absolutely, yeah. They're in a very good spot. Especially anytime you can flip just a winless season into a 500 in-conference season alone, yeah, is super impressive, and being able to see where you can go from there. Very exciting time for this UCU team. Obviously, new name. New era, maybe. I don't know. I know teams like to do that thing when they like get new names or new uniforms or whatever. Could do some cool hashtag or something. I don't know, man.
Are you saying that this is their Commonwealth era?
The Commonwealth era? Yeah.
Oh, boy. One podcast in with Matt Schwartzler, and we've already got a Taylor Swift reference. What is this coming to here?
What can I say? I'm topically relevant, you know?
Are you a Swifty, Matt?
I won't go that far, but
hey, that's all right. And with that, can't get much more off topic than that. So you know what? We're gonna go to a commercial break, and we'll hear from our friends from AdCraft.
So you want to create and sell custom merch for your team or business? That's exciting. But where do you begin? How much inventory should you order? How do you distribute orders? AdCraft has your answers. Streamline the way you offer custom merch by utilizing our risk-free web store service. We ship directly to each customer, and we have the fastest turnaround in the game. Raise funds for your team or get merch to your employees and patrons. Contact AdCraft today, and let's bring your merch to life.
That is exactly what they do. I got to have them bring some more merch to life for me. Get my buddies Angelo and Matt outfitted. They've been working with us. Got to give them a little bit of NAIF ball swag. Got to make sure they
need a new fit, you know.
Absolutely. And you know, Matt's all about the hat game. I might have to see how much their hats are, and
Oh, now we're talking. Now we're really talking.
Yeah, I know you like a good hat. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So the last three teams here in the AAC, it's really interesting. You know, we talked about the, you know, you had the 90s, you had the 70s. And we'll talk a bit about this a little more later. And now you're going to get to your 50s with Bluefield. And we'll talk about that more. It almost seems like you've got a bottom half, a very small midsection, and then a couple teams up at the top. But Bluefield, I don't know. I expected more out of Bluefield last year and was a little disappointed that I didn't get it out of the Rams there. Kind of held serve, backed away a little bit in 2023. Didn't have exactly the season that I was hoping that they would for returning as much as they were. And still net negative on your yards per play by about a half a yard per play. You know, you really, I expected more from Bluefield. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're alone in that camp. I was in the same boat. I've been very high on this team. I love the offense and the way that they function. Quarterback Nathan Hurst, I always mess up.
Hurstich.
Yep. Yeah. Is fantastic. I love watching him sling the rock. I mean, dude is putting up video game numbers day in and day out and has been since he took the reins a couple of years ago for that offense. And obviously, Jules Gray and Nate Monroe coming back is huge for them. Obviously, Thomas Lee being another all-conference receiver for them leaving is unfortunate. We still got your two staple receivers. You got a first team all-conference lineman coming back in Baker. And hey, you bring the specialist back, Riley Stubbs. I mean, you got to kick to score points in some parts of this game. So it's good to have that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know. I don't know how I always feel about this team. I was a little disappointed last year to see that occur the way that it did. And we'll have to see how they do next year. They do return a majority on both sides of the ball as they did in 2023. I don't know, man. I'm honestly in sort of a you're going to have to prove it to me mentality for Bluefield. To borrow a phrase from one of our local radio guys here in Tallahassee, they are in my tent of suspicion. I'm not going to believe it till I see it. Tent of suspicion's like teams like Texas A&M and UCLA that you feel like they're always going to be good and then they're not.
Yep.
And so for right now, temporarily, Bluefield is in my tent of suspicion. I want to believe that they're going to be good. I don't know that I can trust them to take the next step yet.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair to say.
So next up is going to be the winner of the AAC from time immemorial, even back to when they were the Appalachian Division of the Mid-South Conference. That's the Reinhardt Eagles. 26th in SP+, undefeated in the AAC, 8-3 overall. Obviously, one of those is a playoff loss. This is our first team, I believe, that breaks the parity marker on your yards per play. 26th offense in SP+, with 6.75 yards per play, 34th defense, 4.09. And they've got one or two guys coming back, Matt.
Just a few. For those of you that aren't looking, there is a list of like 12 people
sounds right.
on this all AAC list of who's returning. Did I just link to the roster page? I don't know. It's Reinhardt football is Reinhardt football. Death tax is Reinhardt football.
Yep.
They're going to be weird in the first half of the season. They're just going to lock in the back half of the season and get it done. Every year it's like, well, you know, they have some spots to fill. They have some spots of need. Taylor Jackson was living proof last year that that just does not matter for them. They got guys waiting in the wings, just ready to go at any moment. Reinhardt is Reinhardt.
Yeah, anytime you're going to bring back three all-conference linemen,
yeah,
you're going to be in two all-conference running backs to boot. You're going to be okay. Obviously, we'll get to their schedule in a minute, but you bring back a lot of weapons. You talk about tight end being a highly dynamic position. Jack Wallace with 19 yards last year, getting that second team nod. So what I'm hearing there is that's a C and D gap player who operates as a sixth offensive lineman. So that's four offensive linemen that you're bringing back out of six.
Heck yeah.
That'll do. Two linebackers, Cortez Brown and Orlando Gandy, an all-conference, first-team all-conference defense back, Keon McGee. You're going to be okay. You are losing a lot between Jalen Cannon and Vertez Shorter on your defensive line, Kellen Neal in your defensive backfield, Lewis Morris and Gage Stevens on your in your wide receiver core, but death taxes and Reinhardt football. Now, like we alluded to earlier, September is going to be an absolute bear of a schedule. You start off on the road, and it's going to be a toughie. I had it pulled up just a moment ago, and then lost it, and then I'm going to do it again. But you start off with Faulkner. It's a rivalry game. You play it in Montgomery. The next week you play at Southeastern, who's been a sleeping giant for a few years, but I mean, those guys over there aren't going to stay asleep forever. Is this the year that Southeastern turns it around? We don't know. You return home the next week against Cumberland's of Kentucky, a good team from last year, and then you go back on the road up to visit Chris Oliver and the Georgetown Tigers, a team that you beat last year. That's rough, buddy.
It's a grinder.
And so, yeah, I don't quite know what to do with Reinhardt either, as they return nearly all their offense and half their defense. Is this a year where Reinhardt's going to take a massive step forward and reassert their dominance over the Southern United States? I don't know. Or is this going to be a year where Reinhardt has a conference loss? At this juncture, I can't tell you.
There is a team that might have a say in that conference loss, Corey.
That is true. And they like to throw the ball around because it's an air raid team. It's going to be the UPike Bears. Corey Phipps, UPike Bears. 7-3 last year, 5-1 in the AAC. I feel like, Matt, we absolutely, this team flew 100% over the, I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw UPike ahead of Reinhardt, because I'm like, that team wasn't even in our receiving votes last year, like, at all, and I feel like we slept on them.
Yeah, I think we were just wrong. I know I was wrong about this team. I was very up in the air about them last year. Obviously, there's a lot of change going into that program, a lot of things up in the air. It clicked. They figured it out. Obviously, the new staff's doing a great job, and they have a load of people coming back also, which is why I think Reinhardt needs to watch their back a little bit. Lee Kirkland, hello. Coming back, that dude knows what he's doing.
6'6", 250. That's a linebacker, a quarterback, my man.
Yeah, it is gunslinger, man. I mean, what else can you say?
Diego Soto was real good for them last year. That's their leading wide receiver there. That's returning. He was good for 532 and 7 touchdowns. Micah Lee and Jacob Kopchak on your offensive line. Ben Tate, Mason Livingston on your defensive line. You're going to be able to control the line of scrimmage. If you're Pikeville, you are losing a couple of players there between Alex Sanders, who was the first team all-purpose, which strangely in this case doesn't mean that he returned kicks. Usually it does, but he had 580 rush yards and 333 receiving yards. Was a weapon on both in both areas of the offense. I don't know. You know, maybe the air raid kind of helps smooth over them returning a minority of their offense, and their defense takes another step forward with a majority returning. Mm-hmm. You know, you do get Kirkland back, and that's a really big deal. You do return most of your defensive line. You're going to be able to control the line of scrimmage there. I don't know. Maybe UPike does snatch one off of Ryan Hart.
Definitely could. They have the pieces, man. They have the pieces. So
the thing is, though, is that if UPike wins that ball game, theoretically, that could mean they just win the AAC outright.
Mm-hmm.
So
ain't that wild?
I know, right?
What a wild thought.
So as we go forward here, let's get to the fun part. We've gone through all the teams, but y'all want to see how badly we screw up on these. You know, no one's rooting for us on these picks. No one wants to see how good we do. Everyone wants to see how cold of a take we can have. And, you know, look, we talked about UPike. Until someone else comes and takes it from Reinhardt, I can't pick against the Eagles, honestly. They were so far and away better than the next challenger, not named UPike, who took them to double overtime. But every game was just a cakewalk, it seemed like, for Reinhardt last year. I don't think he'll be that way this year, but look, until I get proved very, very, very wrong, I'm taking Reinhardt.
Yeah, Reinhardt is Reinhardt. I can't really disagree with you there. I love UPike. I love what they got going on. I love a few other teams below them, kind of in the middle of the pack. But Reinhardt is Reinhardt, as I've said like five times already, and that's all I need to say. So
now for Dark Horse, and obviously, I don't know how other people define Dark Horse, but Dark Horse on our program is a team that is going to make a large jump, is going to surprise people, could jump up and bite a front runner. Not necessarily someone, you know, the second team, you know, the second best team, but a team that could surprise, and I think Union is going to continue to make strides. Maybe not a, you know, 24-point swing, but if they take a 15-spot swing in SP Plus, that's a really large chunk, and that tells me that you're going to be moving in a seriously good direction.
Absolutely, and you make a lot of good points. This is a very good Union team, very fast on the rise, and I think I'm excited to see what they can do next year.
I think they'll be third next year, but
third.
Behind Reinhardt and UPike. I think they'll be third. But I think you're going to disagree with me here.
I'm going to disagree. And I have a saying, Corey. You want to know what that saying is?
I go with the vibes.
That's one. That's not the one I'm referring to. That's one of them. But this is a different one. I'm never wrong. I am just early. And if you recall last year, I picked Bluefield as my dark horse. And I'm doubling down because I wasn't wrong about that pick last year. I was just a year early. I think there's something to be said. Obviously, we talked about them not having the season that we expected from them or that they would have liked. I think that they are self-aware enough to know that is the case. I think there's been a lot of work in the offseason in that program. Obviously, you're bringing back incredible pieces. And this team now has a chip on their shoulder because now they really do have something to prove because they were not able to prove it last year and take the step. I think this is the year that they take the step that we all thought they should have taken last year because of that. So a lot of wild cards, but I think that there is a case to be made, and I am standing by that.
Well, last year when we went through and did all of our previews. We did a best conference in America, and the AAC was actually second to worst last year. The Sooner brought up the rear. Looking at the numbers, well, this year, do a little bit differently. Still mostly the same, but, you know, I like my statistics. Statistics are a beautiful thing. And you see last year's numbers up there, or 2022's numbers up there as well. And that's because I can't really deem someone the best conference if I don't take some of their previous standings into account. But it is definitely a smaller amount. 25% of their 2022 standings, 75% of what they did in 2023. Always want to have a little bit of recency bias when we go through and say who is currently the best conference. But as you can see, I'm already doing my pre-work for the Frontier. Frontier was better last year, but definitely wanted to, you know, make note that we are doing that again this year. And with that, look, the AAC is a full average 10 spots clear of where they were at this time last year. And I think that says something if you're the Frontier, or if you're the AAC.
Absolutely. This conference has made a lot of improvements across the board. I think Union coming up helps. Point staying competitive, and then Bluefield and honestly UPike just pulling up from the rear out of nowhere, just into that second spot. I think it did a lot of good for them. The eye test would show you that. The statistics obviously will agree with that. So this conference is fun this year, and it's a lot more competitive than people think it's going to be.
And then obviously there's more than one way to skin a cat here. You can talk about brute force average, and we're using arithmetic mean for those who care about that sort of thing, for the average. And that's because we also want to measure the standard deviation. So mean's going to give us, you know, how good each team is on average, including your outliers. But standard deviation is going to help us overcome some of the issues with arithmetic mean and tell us how close the teams are together. And the AAC really is holding serve in standard deviation from last year. It was 25 or so in our 2023 previews, at 27 now. So you've gotten better pretty much together. And I think, you know, obviously one of one right now, but I think when we talk about the AAC and we talk about them as a conference, we see, like you had said previously, this is a team that has gotten better, or this is a conference that has gotten better. But we need to see it really take that next step. You know, we've seen growth over the life of NAIF ball in conferences like the KCAC, which was the laughing stock of the NAI when we joined. When we started this thing, it was Kansas Wesleyan in the field. Now it's, you know, Kansas Wesleyan, it's Bethel, it's Friends, it's Southwestern, it's Avila, it's Evangel. You know, Ottawa gets into the playoffs last year, and they do bring back a lot, if I remember correctly. Can you, as the AAC, make the conversation for your second best team to be a bubble team? If you can do that, then you'll really start to make your case that you're really starting to move in the right direction together as a conference. You know, obviously, you don't have the covering in the Mid-South anymore. You know, where you're playing Sun teams, where you're playing consistently teams from the Bluegrass. You now stand alone, and when you broke off with, at the time, some pretty terrible teams. Are you able to continuously step forward into being a respectable conference? And I think you can, honestly, if you're the AAC. I think this is the year that we'll see that.
Absolutely. There's a lot of fun football that's going to be played in this conference next year, I think.
And I mean, you know, we couldn't do all of this fun football stuff and all of our fun coverage for flag and for regular football if it weren't for our patrons. Our patrons are the guys who keep us going. They, you know, the folks like AdCraft, they're the big sexy sponsors. They help pay the bills of getting to Durham, getting to Atlanta. But the patrons are the ones that do the unsexy work. The paying for us to have Microsoft Office. You never think about that.
Never do.
You know, the behind the scenes stuff, it's our patrons that are paying for that. And if you want to support what we do and make our product better, this is definitely how you do that. And so we'll read them off. It's going to be DSU Cone, Bob Boone, Roger Meyer, Jeremy Vobel, Shirley LaBella, Fred Christensen, Jerry Quickle, Ace Wellen, Brett, Marty Seabolt, Nick Ryan, Hayden Frenio, Kyle Gregory, Tyler Pierce, Justin Hoffman, Steve Speakman, Brian Shake, Julian Shager, Nate Soapbeer, Stephen Cutler, Julie Lau, Dale Norton, Nathan Moore, Dylan Gonzalez, Ryan, Jason Crawford, Dustin Wilkie, Charles A. Flowers, Todd Nix, Sean Chamberlain, Debbie, Zach Lance, and Josue Trujillo. And no, it's not the only way. If you're a student athlete, we understand that you're on a tight budget. If you're a student athlete that's just entering into the working world, we understand you're still on a tight budget. Inflation's a bear. What you can do is watch our YouTube videos. Yeah. Keep them on in the office, throw them on a muted tab in Chrome, and just have the playlist playing. Believe it or not, YouTube still gives ad revenue for that. And every little bit helps, and that is a free way for you that you can help us earn money and make our product better. So if you can't spare any in the budget, consider watching the YouTube videos or having them tucked away, auto-playing day after day. I think we've got about 3 days worth of content on one playlist and like 2 days worth of content on another. So it's gonna be a fun it's gonna be a fun season here. Looking forward to it. See what transpires. I mean, there's some top teams going on, but there's always the unknowns, and we'll have to see which one wins out here. So, for Matt Schwartzler, I am Corey Thorpe, and we will see y'all next week.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.